You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
According to the experts, you should not want to look like an Olympian.
Okay.
Well, thank goodness for that, because it's a big relief, because I look at them and I'm like, nope, I don't look anything like that.
Well, I mean, it's unattainable, right? I mean, right. The Olympians, I'm always amazed when I turn on the Olympics and they're like 38 years old from blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how? How's that even possible, right?
So, you know, one of my good friends, her son is an Olympic hopeful.
Okay.
For the Winter Games, though.
Sure.
And you commit your whole life to training, to eating properly, getting the right amount of sleep, to making sure every day your body is tip top. If you have a JOB and you got to go somewhere else, you can't do that.
Yeah, no. I mean, and it's more than that. Even so, it's training with the right people, you know, being where your sport is active all the time, being with the very best. There's a lot to it.
I saw this meme that says anybody can be an Olympic hopeful if you just say it out loud.
Right. I'm an Olympic hopeful. I'm going to try out for the trials.
Right. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm an Olympic hopeful. I hope one day to make the Olympics. And then I got so mad at myself. I'm like, do not diminish what these athletes do every single day to make them stand out from the rest.
In my opinion, you're not a true Olympic hopeful unless somebody else is hopeful you're going to make it. And your mom does not count. Like, right. It has to be like a coach, a sponsor. You know, the government, they're like, they come to you and they're like, you are unbelievable. We need you there. That's an Olympic hopeful to me.
All right. So let's say you were an Olympic hopeful.
Yeah.
Your body was in tip top shape, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe it looks like whatever it looks like.
Whatever
right now.
It is. But I'm really good at something. I'm gold medal good at something.
Yeah. What would be the thing that you're competing in at this Olympics that you think you could win a gold medal?
I can vacuum the couch like nobody's business.
Oh.
I mean, I take the pillows off that thing. There's one pillow that one of the dogs sits on the top of the back of the couch every day. And so it's indented. So not only do I vacuum off all that, and they shed like crazy. So this takes like 45 minutes to an hour in itself. But then I sit on that seat, on that pillow, sideways while I vacuum another pillow on the couch, and I flatten that pillow back out.
Oh.
I mean, you can't teach that, all right? That's instinctual.
I didn't know that was happening at Paris at the Olympics.
Well,
tonight.
You know what? Maybe it should be. It's indoor also, so you could do it at the Winter Olympics. Maybe it's on the short list to come back.
Maybe. Come back, or it's a debut?
Either way.
Yeah.
What are you gold medal good at?
I was going to say break dancing. Obviously. No. I mean, I don't know how to do it really good or anything like that.
Yeah.
But one time I put cardboard down on the floor and I spun around, and I was actually much better than I had anticipated I would be.
I wonder what the surface will be at the Olympics.
Doesn't it have to be cardboard? Isn't that like the rule of
required?
The world, of the streets?
Yeah.
Like that's what it's got to be?
I don't know if this is viewed as breaking in the streets or if it's breaking indoors. Again, I'm not sure.
Oh, well, that's
the
fine.
Angle they're going for.
It's a big night tonight. Opening ceremonies. We're ready for it. Let's do it, Olympics.
I'll be sitting on my nice clean couch.
Now, the Olympics are underway. Opening ceremonies today. I'm so excited. Like, I don't even understand why I'm excited. I'm not competing in them.
Right. It does look like it's going to be cool, right? Everybody floating in the boats, the Eiffel Tower in the background. Like, I mean, I feel like all that's going to be cool. You are going to hear this song everywhere for the next 3-4 weeks.
Including this show.
That's right.
Yeah. So,
that's right.
Raven.
Prepare
producer,
yourself.
But Raven and producer Sean, what the things that I think that most athletes have a fear of is getting sick or being sick and not being able to compete. And imagine, you spend your whole life training for the Olympics. For some of them, this is their one shot. It's every 4 years, and you've got one shot to make it. You make it, and you've got your few minutes to shine, and that's it. Now, what happens when you can't do it?
Are you talking about like being sick or injured, right? Are we talking about testing and COVID and you're pulled out of something? Because that's different to me. Like if you got, you know, a cold, you got a sinus infection, like you got to get out there and get to work,
well,
don't you?
Maybe not.
Don't you?
It's exactly what's happening to 22-year-old Yannick Sinner. Yannick Sinner.
That person.
Yeah, the Italian. He's number one ranked male tennis player in the games. And this was the statement he had to release.
I'm saddened to inform that unfortunately I would not be able to participate in the Paris Olympic Games. After a good week of clay training, I started to feel unwell. I spent a couple of days resting and during a visit to the doctor found tonsillitis and strongly advised me against playing.
Tonsillitis took him out.
He's Italian. He sounds very Australian right there.
And what is clay training?
I mean, that's on a clay court.
Court, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
And he goes on to say,
missing the games is a huge disappointment. I couldn't wait to have the honor of representing my country in this very important event. Good luck to all the Italian athletes who I will support from home. Forza Italia.
Forza Italia.
Does that guy sound Italian?
No, it's a news reader reading the thing, Raven.
All right.
I mean honestly.
They couldn't be like, anybody Italian on this news crew?
Okay.
Let's read it for him.
Sounds like an Italian accent to me.
So I was trying to figure out, I'm like, when was I too sick to do something? Like, when was, like, the most sick? And I'll be the first to tell you, I show up sick. I show up sick a lot.
Right.
Like, you just kind of power through and you deal with it and you just smile and you put your best acting face on. But one time, I had a Make-A-Wish event, which is the worst. Like, you don't want to bail on a Make-A-Wish event.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't lift my head. It was probably the most sick I'd ever been, like, physically sick.
Mm.
And I couldn't even call our boss to tell him. Like, I was, like, dying on the phone.
Yeah.
Being like, you got to get somebody else. And then I just threw the phone to the side. And and I woke up, like,
you
2 days
up.
Later. Yeah.
Right.
It was the worst.
Last time I was too sick to complete the task or do whatever needed to be done was man camping 2 years ago. There was some sort of viral infection that swept through the bratwurst breakfast, I believe. And I was so sick, I could not leave my tent area. It had a 5-gallon bucket. It was a terrible, terrible scene, is all I'll tell you. I had a friend throw up into his shoe.
Ew.
He couldn't make it to his car. And thank God it was pouring rain out on top of it, so it was like a thunderstorm. But so, like, if you'd go out to use the lab, it was terrible.
I think missing a Make-A-Wish event and missing the Olympics are more important than your man camping, Raven.
It was rough.
My mom and stepfather got married in the Bahamas. We got there, like, on a Sunday, and Monday I got sick. And I didn't start feeling better until the day we left.
Oh.
My
when you miss a vacation, it's the worst.
Sick on vacation and in the heat.
Laying in bed, looking at the beautiful ocean that I can't go in because I'm too tired and sick to get out of bed. It was awful.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with your tonsillitis, Mr. Italian tennis player.
Sinner.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
All right, we got 3 news stories. You're only going to hear about one. Raven is going to pick which one we are all going to learn about. Number one, breaching whale capsizes boat after landing on top of it.
Oh, my, that poor whale. Like, get your boat out of the way, all right? This is a whale parking space, seriously.
Number two, virtual reality players are suffering a real bone broken bones.
That's like one of those things where, like, if you die in a dream, Anna, you don't actually wake up in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody knew that was a thing.
And number three, fish falls from sky and damages couple's Tesla.
What's going on with these fish that are flying? I will go with flying fish, please.
Okay, fair enough. But if you haven't seen the video of the whale capsizing the boat, everybody's fine. Go and Google it because it's really fascinating to watch.
It's crazy.
Okay, so a New Jersey couple had the windshield of their Tesla smashed in by a falling fish.
What? Happened.
Uh-huh. Here they are talking about it.
The car started honking, went crazy honking. We were like, holy crap, look at this. It looks like fish scales and blood on the windshield.
Yeah, we're thinking somebody threw it at the car. Like, is somebody after us? Is it vandals? Or, you know.
We said we're glad it didn't hit us.
I mean, you immediately think it's mafia. Like, a fish takes out your windshield in your driveway.
There are Tesla haters out there, right?
Oh, I mean, like, you know I'm one of them.
I just didn't know that they were eco-terrorists. Are you riding around with fish in your vehicle?
Never. Of course not.
To hurl at somebody's vehicle?
I know. I am not a Tesla fan. If you drive one, cool. Like, I'm glad you like it. But you know, like, when they first came out.
I love that you have to put a disclaimer on your Tesla statement right now. Yeah, when they first came out, everybody wanted one.
No, right. At first, you thought they were cool. But here's the thing. The first, like, SUV one that I saw was white, and I thought it looked like an egg.
But,
and
yeah,
ever
it
since, it looked like
a space bubble.
No, like an actual egg.
Yeah.
And the minute I had that visual in my mind.
Can't get it out of your head.
That's
now.
It. That's all I ever think. Every time I look at them, I'm like, they look like a carton of eggs.
Okay.
Anyway. So who do they think did this to their Tesla, the falling fish out of the sky?
Yeah.
We also have an eagle's nest in our yard in the back.
Oh, my gosh.
So we think We think it was probably the eagle.
The eagle wanted them dead. Well, that's what it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they can pick up things and drop things from time to time. Like, I once found an alligator snapping turtle in the back of my yard. Mm-hmm. And I have a fenced-in yard, and there is no water anywhere around me. And my wife, of course, had to call, like, a sanctuary place or whatever. She's like, oh, my God, it's an alligator snapping. I mean, thank God I didn't pick the thing up. But it was tiny. They were like, yeah, it was probably dropped by a hawk or an eagle.
Right. How big does this fish have to be to smash your windshield, though? Yeah. That's what I'm trying to think. And, like, that eagle must be so powerful. Like, it went to the lake.
Yeah.
Got it and was like,
got
you know
the
what?
Fish and was like, you know what? I changed my mind.
I hate my mom and dad who live in the house below me. Let me go get this fish and let me drop it right on its dumb Tesla's windshield and let's see what happens.
Yeah, that would be a surprising thought process for the bird, I'm guessing. You know what? I mean, height could have something to do with it too, right? Like, I don't know the rules on terminal velocity here, but if you huck a fish at 5 miles per hour versus, you know, maximum velocity, it might make a difference. Either way. Look out.
Right. And good news. The Tesla's fine. So everything is good.
Oh.
Yeah. Fired Friday. You can call 1-800-330-9999. You let us know what went terribly wrong at your job, and then we all guess together whether or not you got fired. Andrew, you're up first.
Okay. So I was a fundraiser, and we would call fundraise for charities, nonprofits, a lot of organizations. Basically, we call people who already give and ask them to continue giving to these, like, great causes.
Okay.
And I was calling on behalf of an organization, and they usually give us, like a beat sheet, just stuff about the organization, things that they have done recently, kind of like talking points.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to this lady, and I misspoke. I said something incorrectly on the sheet, and this lady was upset. She then continued to yell at me on the phone for 5 minutes straight and asked to talk to my supervisor.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm guessing that you did not get fired because telemarketing is a miserable business and fundraising is also extremely difficult. They'll make sure that that donor doesn't see you again. But other than that, get back on the phone, boy.
I agree with
you. We got stuff to do. I've worked in telemarketing. Didn't you, Anna?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't care at all.
Yeah, except my company turned out to be a scam, and then it was like everybody got sued except for me because I didn't know it was a scam at the time.
I mean, I got out of there before people started going to prison. But yeah. I remember that my owner, the supervisor or whatever at the time, she reminded me of Jabba the Hutt. She just kind of sat there at her desk the same way. And then if somebody said something, she would be like, blah, 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 blah.
I feel like my lady did that too. Is that every call center in America?
Was her name Bev?
No, I can't remember her name.
Well, it might have been Bev.
No.
She's the only one. She goes from spot to spot.
Yeah.
Like a haunting.
She would just sit there and never move.
I mean, she was nice enough in other ways, but.
Forgot about that.
Terrible business. You're calling up people that don't need any of those things and selling them these terrible things.
We were selling CDs at 1 cent each.
Yep.
Every CD.
Nice.
That was the name of the place where you like paid a yearly membership and then you paid like a really discount for CDs. But I think we were double charging people like to keep the doors open. I don't know what was happening.
100%.
I should probably stop talking before I get sued again.
Right.
Okay. So hold on. Did you get fired or no?
No. The lady made me cry, and I ended up getting the donation. And I think that's why they didn't fire me.
Oh, God.
Got the donation. So the woman just wanted somebody to make cry that day, and then she felt bad again.
I think she exactly. I think she felt bad. And she ended up giving, like $100.
How ridiculous. Okay.
I mean, the fact that you have to cry to, like,
hey, listen, if you could cry and get a donation every time, too, you'd figure out how to do that, right?
Sometimes it works.
Right.
Sometimes.
How many times did you cry on the phone?
I mean, with the customer service thing, never, ever, ever in my life. But
four.
I mean, like, sometimes, like, when you need to, like, end an argument.
Four.
He said four. He said four times.
What?
I mean, once you find out it works, you're like.
Three more times that week.
It jars people, like, when you start crying.
Yeah.
Sometimes that'll make everybody kind of just quiet down, you know, and level out. Well, thousands of our best athletes in the world are getting ready to kick off the opening ceremonies today for the Olympics. We've got big news out of the Ohio Supreme Court.
You shouldn't be surprised if you find bones inside boneless chicken wings.
What?
That's the ruling today from the Ohio Supreme Court. The justices ruled that a restaurant isn't liable for selling a customer a boneless wing that had a bone in it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's the thing. When you go into a chicken wing with reckless abandon mm-hmm. and you're expecting no bones and there's a bone in there, you could end up in a very dangerous place.
Well, that's exactly what happened. There was a man a few years ago. He ordered a boneless wing at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. One of them did have a bone, and he ended up choking on it, got an infection, and had to have two surgeries.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so he sued the restaurant owners, the chicken suppliers, the processors, and the case made it all the way to the Ohio Supreme Court, and here we are today. Okay. But while they're making...
You had to sue all those people because chickens don't have wallets, obviously.
It's true.
There's no pockets for them.
They also don't have something else. While they were making these decisions, they figured they should nail a few other things down.
Okay.
But the majority of justices ruled boneless wings are simply a cooking style, mm-hmm. and it doesn't guarantee that bones won't be present. The dissenting justices did agree that boneless wings aren't actually wings,
oh.
and chicken fingers aren't actually fingers.
Oh,
because chickens don't have fingers.
Yeah.
Now we just learned that.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's right, right. Mm-hmm. We cut them into finger shapes. Unpleasant, but there it is.
So, you know, the minority argued that there could be more serious consequences because it was 4-3. It was kind of close.
Okay.
And what they said was like...
really big stuff going on here. It's amazing, right?
We have the world's greatest athletes getting ready to perform and to compete this entire next 2 weeks. But you know what? This is what we're worried about here, these chicken wings.
Oh, my gosh.
What they argued, and this kind of did make sense to me, is if you are allergic to nuts or gluten, can you sue if something dangerous happens to them and there's a mistake or something like that? So, mm-hmm. I mean... it's one of those things where it's like the domino effect. If this is okay, then yeah. what else is okay? So I can, I guess, understand that.
Well, good thing that we have the Supreme Court to make all these decisions for us moving ahead.
That's true. And I'm just happy that we figured out chickens don't have fingers because I've been worried about that for a long time. Soccer fans are passionate. Not always in a good way.
Yeah, soccer fans are nuts. Y'all are nuts.
It's true. Opening ceremonies of the Olympics are today, but a few of the sports have already started, including soccer. It was the first game, Argentina versus Morocco. The reporters were calling it a circus. Listen to this.
The end of the game, there was chaos that ensued. Bottles were thrown onto the field, and it was announced that the session had been suspended and to players and fans to make their way to the nearest exit.
Yeah, so...
I'm just going to say this.
Uh-huh.
If you're throwing bottles on the field, you can't be called passionate. All right. You can be called many, many things, Anna, but you can't be called passionate if you're throwing bottles onto a field.
They had to stop the game, empty the stadium, and then they end up having to restart the game 2 hours later in that empty stadium.
What was the result of that game? Wasn't it a tie anyway?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. No. Morocco ended up holding out for the win.
Okay. Well, anyway, congratulations, Morocco.
Argentina was offsides, but that's a whole different story for another time. But I started thinking about it. It's like, what was the nuttiest crowd you've ever been a part of? You know, like, it's funny when you're part of that crowd and you realize, oh, we've lost it. Like, this crowd is nuts and I should probably see my way out of here.
Yeah, I mean, funny is one thing, right? But then there becomes a moment where you're almost like, is this dangerous? And I've been in a couple of those crowds before. Woodstock 99 comes to mind. I mean, that was an easy one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you had people that were basically sliding and diving into porta potty overflow puddles and then they lit the fence on fire.
I'll never forget those fires.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was definitely wild.
Producer Sean?
You know, I like that you say, like, the nuttiest, like, crowd. It's ongoing for me. It's when you're at an amusement park.
Oh.
Those, mm-hmm. a lot of people, and let's be honest, you run into people at amusement parks where some just don't use deodorant. You have people who try to cut you off. Then you got the slow walkers, the people who walk too fast. Those crowds at amusement parks are the worst.
Yeah, public.
I saw a fight break out at, oh my gosh, Sesame Place. Sesame Place, where you think it should be the happiest place in the whole world.
I mean,
everybody
at least one
in
of
the cartoons.
Them, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no. These people were not, they were cutting the line. They were getting into arguments with each other. Like, for some reason, why do we forget how to behave when we're at amusement parks?
You know, everybody wants to be first, right? And your family's with you and your kids are, you know, tired or run down or you're trying to get on the next ride and it's hot a lot of times. Like, it's not a good scenario, really. Mm-hmm. It's a tough scenario for everybody to behave themselves, which is why you have to be on your best behavior.
Which I have to tell you this one time. And when you're part of your kids, like the parents on the sidelines,
mm-hmm.
when they get riled up because they think their kids have been wronged.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
That's a dangerous crowd to be a part
super
of.
Super passionate. That's
one
right.
time, it was a soccer game, and my daughter was playing travel soccer.
Comes back to
sure
soccer.
Enough, comes
here
back
we go.
To soccer. But we were on the side, and I got to be honest, I was quiet. Like, I don't get involved in these things. But the ref came off the field, yelled at all of us parents, called us the peanut gallery,
yeah.
said he didn't make enough money to deal with it.
I mean, he was right.
And threatened to throw all of us off the field.
I mean, it was just like the Olympics, as a matter of fact. It was exactly the same thing.
Exactly the same, except these kids were 12. That's it. This is big news that cracked yesterday. A 50-year tradition has come to an end.
For the first time in its history, Southwest Airlines is doing away with open seating. So starting next year, travelers will get an assigned seat and the option to pay for premium seats.
I never understood why Southwest didn't do this. Mm. To me, it was wild that we would just get called by A, B, and C. You know?
So you flew Southwest prior?
Once.
I did the same one time, one trip. That
mm-hmm.
was it. And you know what? On the way there, I was like, this is absolute pandemonium. On the way back, it was a red eye. There was nobody on the flight. Then I thought it was great. But here's the thing. You could have any seat on a red eye. If there's nobody on the flight, you can sit whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that'll be fine.
I like organization and knowing where I'm going.
Yes.
And for some reason, like when we did it, it was okay. But I was in the B section. I wasn't like the first one on the plane. I get like panic attacks and anxiety about nonsense like that.
No, I don't think it's nonsense. I think that's completely normal. And you know what? It's not only just knowing where it is that you're going. Because like you said, it's not like you need the best seat on the plane. You just want to make sure that you have a seat on the plane. For me, it's the confrontation. I don't, if I'm sitting somewhere that you think you're supposed to be sitting or whatever, like, I don't want to deal with that process.
Yeah.
At all.
That's the worst thing when somebody's in your seat.
Yes.
And you have to have that conversation. That happened to me at the Taylor Swift concert.
It's so uncomfortable, right? Like, yep. I mean, you almost feel like nowadays you have to have an attendant to do it. It happened to me at the last concert we went to, too. Same thing. You know what? And the woman turned to my wife and said, well, we're going to be leaving early. And my wife was like, that doesn't matter to me at all.
You're still in my seat.
You're in my seat.
So right? I was looking like on social media and trying to see like under the news reports what people were saying.
Yeah.
Sarah wrote, I honestly hate the cattle herd and I hate the people who try to tell you the seat is taken because they're holding it for someone who's further back in the line than you are.
Yeah.
Sue wrote, open seating was amazing. If you check in 24 hours prior, you get a good boarding game position. And if you don't, you don't. This was one of the reasons I chose Southwest over the other airlines. It's like the battle of the fittest.
I mean, that whole thing makes me anxious. Like mm-hmm. you said, like I've got to get the right position. And what, I've got to be standing there to stick up for myself to make sure somebody enforces it? That's the other thing. At the gates, nobody, like you either have the attendants that enforce nothing or they enforce everything.
Nancy wrote, I like the fact that I can pick my seat when I'm boarding. Then I can see who I'm sitting next to. I mean, yeah, okay. I see that point.
I get
exactly.
it, but it's also a little bit rude and selective and elitist. Like, you're not going to always be able to pick somebody that you want to sit next to.
Well, I was thinking about it because I wish everything had assigned seating. Because there's so many instances when you walk into an event or somewhere
right.
and you don't know where to go, what to sit, and it is the most awkward situation.
It's like being the new kid walking into the CAF.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's the exact feeling. Like, I love assigned seating at movie theaters. I think it is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It eliminates so many problems. I mean, yes, there's still things that happen from time to time. Something happened this week. But you know what? I mean, it's far less than it used to be. And you can show up right when you want to.
You know, whenever you go to a wedding, there's always assigned seating. But for some reason, baby showers and bridal showers, you go to a lot of them and it's not. And I never understood that because there's nothing more awkward than nobody knowing where to sit at mm-hmm. a baby shower or bridal shower. Or if you come with four people, but that
right.
table only has two seats. So now you're grabbing chairs from other tables and then you've got three sad people sitting at a table of eight because mm-hmm. nobody wants to sit with them because all the aunts and uncles want to sit together at table three.
Right.
I don't understand why we can't just have assigned seating at every family function.
I want it at public buses, any sort of public transportation, and I'll do you one more. The beach.
Oh, the beach.
The beach.
Mm-hmm.
Assigned seating at the beach. I'm sorry, I've reserved F3 today. You're going to have to be over there in F4. Enjoy your area. I'm here on F3. I'm taking in the ocean in my own accord.
I actually don't hate that idea.
See?
It's finally here. Opening ceremonies for the Olympics are happening today. And for the next 2 weeks, it's going to be all things Olympics. All right. But here's the bad news that broke early this morning.
What's that?
Bad people. They coordinated and sabotaged the French railways with arson, so traveling into the city is a lot more complicated right now.
Great.
But officials say it's not going to stop the ceremonies from happening. They've put extra security. They've prepared for all these things that can happen. So, okay. It is what it is, right?
Sure,
that's our
of
world.
Course.
Right. Yep. Also, there's a 70% chance for rain today in Paris. So,
well, that seems like a pretty big downer right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yep.
But I mean, you can't control the weather,
you
though.
You can't control the weather.
Yep.
But 100 boats are going to be going down the Seine River. 10,500 athletes representing 206 nations. Team USA has about 500 athletes there. They'll all be wearing the Ralph Lauren blazers and denim. He dresses our Olympians.
I mean, and every year, every time. It's not every year, but every. I mean, there's only been one or two times that I was like, those look cool.
Oh, no, I think it's so cool.
Oh, other times I'm like, what is he doing?
I love it.
What is going on with the stylish choices at this point?
I absolutely love it. I think that he really has, like, his finger on the pulse of classic Americana. I think that they always look so well-dressed.
Oh, it's some sort of terrible sweater half the time.
Oh, so good.
Do you know that I have a cousin? Well, I guess he would be a cousin, right? Because my niece is married to, yeah, he's a designer at Ralph Lauren. And one time when I met him, he was wearing a sweater that I swear to God, he looked like an unemployed painter. He looked like he was with it. But then they were like, he's a designer, Ralph Lauren. I was like, well, that makes sense.
I mean, but do you think you're the foremost authority when it comes to fashion?
All. Not at all. But when I see a coat that's USA, I want it to look cool. That's all I'm saying.
The one thing that I think most Americans will find questionable, not the design choices of Ralph Lauren, is the Olympic mascot. It's called a frise. Here's a French person discussing what it is.
Okay.
And the mascot for the Paris 2024 Olympic Games has just been unveiled. In French, it's called Les Friges, a mascot inspired by the French Revolution and, you might remember, the bust of the woman who represents France, Marianne, her cap.
It's her hat. So it's okay. Basically looks like a red beret that's been deformed.
Yeah, it's like in the wind.
But it becomes a human being.
Oh,
but
that...
a cartoon human being of a red beret.
Sounds like a glob of something red that was melted in the sun.
Like
and then became a
mutant tongue.
Great.
Raven.
This is awesome.
It's like a French version of Gumby.
Yeah.
And when you see it today, right. You're going to be like, oh, that's what Anna was talking about. Yeah, I get it. It's weird. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't forget, also today, we're keeping our fingers crossed that the rumors are true that Celine Dion and Lady Gaga will be performing together.
That's going to be phenomenal.
Snoop Dogg is going to be carrying the torch.
I mean, that is unbelievable to me.
But the one thing, Raven, that I read that I was like, what is NBC thinking?
Yeah.
But it's so smart and it's such good TV. They're putting heart monitors on some of the Olympians' parents in the crowd to monitor their reactions and their heart rate when their children are competing, and they're going to put it up on the screen.
That's fantastic. I can't wait to find out that my kidneys are malfunctioning because I'm really pumped up because my favorite Olympian is on.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine being a parent and the stress you have in that moment and then having the whole world watch you almost have a heart attack.
Well, anything to drum up the excitement,
exactly.
Right? I am looking forward to seeing everybody come down the Seine. That'll be pretty cool.
Wait till you see the frige.
Whatever
it is.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Doesn't matter if you're a mom or you're a dad or your kids are furry and have four legs or they're human and just driving you crazy. It's not easy to be in charge of other people or other things in general. So this is your chance to vent. What did you do this week that was hard? And you are so happy it's the weekend. 1-800-330-9999. Yvonne.
I had my annual review with the company this week, and my boss kept putting it off. You know, Monday he said we were going to have it, then it was Tuesday, then it was Wednesday, then it was Thursday. Friday comes around, and I'm freaking out, thinking, oh, no, this is going to be terrible. Turns out he just was busy, and I had, you know, nervous all week for no reason. It went really well, and I got a raise.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Turn that.
Congratulations.
Booyah.
Woo.
Getting a raise is nice. There's never a time when you get a raise where you're like, then after like, you know, a few hours, it wears off a little bit and you want more. But
right. Then you start. I've never gotten a raise and thought like, that was fair. I've always like, that's it. That was my raise.
Right.
Never once have I been like, that was great. You know, were you happy with your raise?
I mean, it was 75 cents,
it made you feel better.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm always amazed, too, when I see, like, a ball player or somebody sign a huge contract. I'm like, they must be feeling great today, right? Yeah. Like, they renegotiate or something, get something big. You're right, Anna. I have never walked out of that room going, yeah!
Yeah. Never.
They fully value me.
Enjoy the margarita. You deserve it.
Thanks.
Whitney, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
So I started the 75-day hard challenge on Monday, and I lasted all week. So I deserve a treat and a margarita.
Hold on. I don't know what that is. What is it?
You're supposed to exercise. You're supposed to eat healthy and all this other nonsense. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I deserve my margarita.
Wait a minute.
Wait, did you say 75-day or 75-hour?
Right.
1 week in. I don't know if you get a break after that, but I'm with you.
On the
reward
five?
Yourself, I guess, for your good efforts.
No, wait. The 75 hard, it's called. All right. It's part fitness, part nutritional training, and mental toughness. I mean, I think that if you've only made it 5-6 days, you're kind of failing at the 75 day.
If you give in to the margarita, your mental toughness comes into question. But I understand.
I mean, the rule number one says no alcohol or cheat meals. It's literally rule number one.
I mean, when they put the word hard in the title, right? So are you giving up on the whole thing then?
Is it giving up? It's just taking a cheat day.
It's a pause. It's a pause. Right, I'm pausing.
Yeah,
nobody pay attention.
You can't call it the 75 hard then. You have to call it something else.
You call it 5 plus another 70 after that is what you do.
All right.
Hey, Debbie, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
Okay, so this week I had to deal with my two daughters, 16 and 8 and almost 19, with their attitudes, their snotty remarks, their slamming of doors, and them treating me like poop.
Oh.
That's why I deserve it.
You do deserve it. Having teenagers
Thank
can
you.
Be very tough.
Yeah.
And some are more difficult than others.
Well, love them
sure.
1 minute, hate them the next, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah.
When they're really
difficult. I love them to death. I just don't always like them.
Yeah.
Right.
That happens. That definitely happens. Enjoy your margarita.
Thank you.
It's an end of an era last night. Billy Joel performed his final concert of his residency at Madison Square Garden. 150th show. Fans from all over the country were there to celebrate the sold-out show.
I mean, it's pretty amazing, right, when you think about that, how long that's been going on and how successful it's really been.
Yeah, he did bring up some friends, including Jimmy Fallon, but the crowd was shocked when he made this announcement.
Welcome, Axl Rose.
Wait a minute. Did he say Axl Rose?
I mean, don't think that Axl Rose is not a Billy Joel fan, of course.
Oh, no, I know he is. And he came out there, and Raven, I didn't even recognize him. He looked like Wayne Newton. He had like a sparkly black suit on, and his hair was all bouffant. And he's, I mean, in my mind, I still imagine Axl Rose in his biker shorts running across the stage with his long hair and bandana. That is not what he looks like anymore.
No, that guy's gone. But you know what? He's gone through it and come back himself, too. His voice is a lot better than it was for a while there. Like, it must have been fun.
Yeah, they started with this. It was nice. But then
It was nice.
He did a good job. And then they came out for the final encore and they sang the last song together, which was this.
But it just made me a lunatic. You're looking for.
I mean, we have to agree that Billy Joel has the greatest sing-along songs of all time.
He
right?
has an incredible sound catalog, an incredible writer, just a great musician. I mean, all those things. Yes, absolutely.
He's not done being on the road. Like, this isn't the end of Billy Joel. He actually has 3 concerts lined up this year still.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always something that he did that I thought was fascinating. Here's him talking about it in an interview.
First row tickets are always scalper tickets. So they're always somebody who paid way too much money to be a big shot and sit in the front row. The real fans are in the back. So we decided they can never afford to get the front row tickets. So don't put the front rows, the first 2 rows on sale. We hold those tickets. We give them to our road crew. The road crew fans out to the back of the room before the show. And they find kids all the way in the back. And they bring them to the front 2 rows.
That's great.
And if you ever thought that was fake, it happened to my cousin. She was at a show, a local show, and she was all the way in the back, last row, but she was such a fan, and she got plucked and put in the front row. And I'll never forget, like, looking at the pictures and being like, I can't believe that's real, and it happened to you. It was amazing.
Very cool experience. Thanks for all the memories, Billy Joel.
What couple?
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Chris and Trisha. Chris, let's start with you. What's going on?
All right. Well, me and Trisha have been having disagreements because me and my dad, we've had an awful relationship from growing up all the way even till now. My father was very abusive. He used to actually sit and make me watch my brothers and sisters play my video games and wouldn't allow me to play them. That was real hurtful for me. Seeing my dad, you know, come in very drunk, abusive towards my mother. My dad's about to get married. He's trying to go run away and be happy, and we were never able to be happy. I feel like I need to go and crash his wedding.
Well, I'm sorry you had to deal with that, Chris, obviously. When's the last time that you saw your father?
3, maybe 4 months ago. And I tried to talk to him about, you know, some of the feelings and stuff that I was harboring, but all he kept talking about was, oh, you're grown now. You don't have to worry about that. You just need to grow up and just let all that stuff go. And I'm like, I'm still harboring all of these feelings from sure. what you did to me growing up.
Yeah, that's understandable.
But you're not invited to the wedding?
No. Hmm. And that's another reason why I want to just crash the wedding, because it's, you know, we're your kids. You don't even want your kids, you know, join on a union between two people. This lady that she really don't know anything about you. We're your kids. We're supposed to know who's going to be with our parents, you know?
Well, I mean, if you talk to them, if you don't talk to them, what's the difference, right? But I don't know. Trisha, what's your side of this?
You know, I understand his feelings sure. with his dad, and he's been through a lot, but it's something that he needs to heal inside of himself in order to move on. And I don't think trying to get revenge or trying to get back at his father is going to change anything that has happened in the past. I think two things can exist, that you can acknowledge the fact that someone has wronged you and that they could have did a better job, while also working those feelings out in yourself without thinking that you have to go and get revenge. I just don't think it's very viable or reasonable in this.
Chris, what do you think you'll accomplish by just showing up uninvited to your father's wedding?
I will be able to accomplish giving him the ongoing pain that was given me. Give him something to remember, the hurt and pain to remember from what he gave to me and my family growing up.
So your idea wouldn't just be to show up, Chris. It would be to, in fact, ruin things, basically. You know, try and disrupt, you know, start a conversation or an argument even, you know, with that individual, or show them out at their wedding. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes. I want him to feel the pain that we have been feeling.
I don't necessarily think your plan is good. I think it's actually a terrible plan, and I think all it does is just create chaos and drama.
I understand that you're harboring feelings and that you don't feel that it's fair. Unfortunately, when you have vengeful plans, it doesn't work out the way that you think it's going to work out. I'd rather not have somebody like that in my life. Now, I know that it's extremely difficult to say and not feel or do something about when it's your parents. I know this firsthand. But sometimes you really are better off, and it's kind of like, you know, let sleeping dogs lie, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of people out here that thrive on this stuff. And I do. And I think that you probably
speaking
know.
Speaking their truth,
yeah.
though. You know,
yeah,
I mean.
No, I get it.
Right? Like, I mean, it's part of that, too, so.
What do you think? Does Chris have a right to insert himself into his father's narrative on his wedding day?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court.
Is it ever okay to crash your father's wedding, even if you just want to get revenge on him for being such a terrible father your whole life? Chris and Trisha are definitely disagreeing on this. Chris says his dad is getting married. He was not invited. He's always had a terrible relationship with his father, and he feels like he should just show up. He should show up and try to, like, ruin the day for him. He was like, he doesn't deserve to have a great day after how terrible he was to his mother and to all his siblings and him his whole life.
You know, I feel for Chris. I really do. And Trisha does, too, as well. On the other hand, like, you tried talking to your father 3-4 months ago about this situation, about your feelings, and he was not hearing it. He was not here for it. He doesn't really care, right? So, you know, you got to tell yourself, like, a wedding day is already an emotionally charged day. If you go in there with a head full of steam, you're going to meet another, you know, immovable object. It's not going to be good.
But some people love drama, and they say, like, you got to You got sometimes you get what you give, and if he deserves it, let him do it. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Catherine, whose side are you on?
First of all, my heart absolutely breaks for him, but I'm on her side because he's not going to get the results. He's not going to feel better after. It's not. He needs some therapy to help him deal with these feelings, and it's very, very sad, but he won't get that good feeling that he's hoping to get. Mm. It never comes about that way.
I mean, I think she's probably right, right? 100%. Like, I mean, help is always more helpful than, you know, just more destruction, more pain.
I think sometimes you forget, like, he just wants attention from his dad.
Right.
And that's sad that he's going through all this, but I don't think it's the right way. What do you think?
His father's not going to give him what he wants.
1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Is it ever okay to get revenge from your parents by crashing their wedding? That's the disagreement between Chris and Trisha. Chris has never had a good relationship with his father. Definitely not. He was not invited to his wedding, and he feels that he should crash it. And for all the bad things he's done to him in his life and his mom and his brothers and sisters, then he wants to make a scene and get even.
His father was toxic, right? Like, this was a thing growing up. He was a drinker. He was abusive to him and his family, as mentioned. But, you know, Trish really just wants to point out the fact that you're not going to get what you need from your dad. This is not a good idea. Let's just focus on us.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Marlene, whose side are you on?
Oh, my God. I'm on the wife's side. For somebody who was partially raised by a family member and has been through some horrible things, you try to confront them 3 times. And if not, you let it go because you try to make your peace and then go work it out somewhere else. And that's exactly what I did. You try to make peace. It didn't happen. Just let it go. Go work it out somewhere else. Because if he crashed that wedding, he is going to be sorry. Nobody else.
Hey, Santino, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the side of the sun this morning because I'm always down for some vigilante justice, and I think you should get what you give. And if you've given someone some detrimental feelings over time, I think you should get it back.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Santino. I mean, that's one way to think about it. He's into vigilante stuff. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that are. Let's not pretend that people don't love drama like that.
Yeah, but I mean, there can be consequences. It's not just like, you know, a TV show where you show up, you start an argument or whatever. It's a situation where, you know, it can become a problem.
Right, drama.
And a dangerous situation, possibly.
Nancy, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on?
So, as much as I feel bad for the gentleman, I'm on the lady's side. Nobody's even mentioning that he may be getting back at his dad, but what about the other woman? She didn't do nothing to him. She didn't hurt him. And he's going to ruin her day, too.
It's a good point.
It's not just about him and his dad.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Trisha, our audience agreed with you today. Chris, bad idea. Don't do it. All you're doing is more drama. You don't know how it can end. And at the end of the day, let it be.
You know, Chris, paramount in my mind is that your safety. You could find yourself in trouble with the law, etc. Like, I mean, you got other things to worry about. Trisha, you are happy. Your father is not a good person. Did many bad things. You know, hopefully karma's going to straighten him out at some point anyways. But, you know, who knows, right? Are you going to be all right not going to this? Can you trust yourself not to show up?
I'll do it this time. Because I'm usually pretty adamant about the things that I have put my mind to. But
yeah,
from what I've heard and what I've been listening to, I think I'll probably need to take a different approach to express how I've been feeling.
Even the fact that you feel this way and you're this upset and you're concerned for other people in your family and the damage that's been done already says that you're a better person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you could pull yourself back in situations like that, you're even more grown. Trish, you got to be relieved. I mean, obviously, this is not an easy thing for Chris to go through.
Yeah, I'm glad he has come to his senses. And I really want us to work through this together and, you know, be the best supportive spouse that I can be in a situation like this, because I know that it's hard, but there's definitely other ways to go about it.
Yeah, stay busy that day.
Yeah, definitely. Leave town, actually.
Yeah, stay busy in the days and the run-up to it, too, and block your ears for the next couple weeks. Do yourself a favor. You are better off.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $2,200 thanks to NHTSA. Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's why driver assistance technologies like lane keeping assistance come in. Learn more at NHTSA.gov/driver tech, paid for by NHTSA. Hey, Christy, you ready to play today?
I am.
All right, awesome. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it, Christy. Good luck.
Thank you.
Raven's walking out of here. The door is going to close, and he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. Ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Sounds good.
Number one, Natalie Portman says that the children's show Bluey was one of the most important cameos of her entire life. What is the name of Bluey's sister?
Bingo.
Number two, Adam Lambert and Moana's Alali Cravalho will be taking over the lead roles in Broadway's Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club. Adam Lambert was runner-up on what reality TV competition in 2009?
American Idol.
Number three, opening ceremonies of the Paris Olympics are today. What's the name of the famous Paris museum that houses the Mona Lisa? Christy?
Yep.
What is it?
The Louvre?
Okay, I think we didn't get that on time. Number four, Billy Joel ended his historic run at Madison Square Garden last night, and he surprised everyone when he brought out what Guns N' Roses member? That's time, Christy. And number five, Lady Gaga says that she taught herself how to sing poorly for the new Joker movie since Harley Quinn isn't a trained singer. She is rumored to perform at the Olympic opening ceremonies and sing a famous French song about which flower?
Flower.
That's time, Christy.
Oh, my gosh.
Bring Raven back in.
Yo.
2 out of 5 for Christy.
Not great. $2,200 bucks. Maybe they're really, really, really hard.
I don't know. Number one, Natalie Portman says that the children's show Bluey was the most important cameo of her entire life. What is the name of Bluey's sister?
Bingo.
That's right. Number two, Adam Lambert and Moana's Alali Cravalho will be taking over the lead roles in the Broadway's Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club. Adam Lambert was runner-up on what reality TV competition in 2009?
American Idol.
That's right. Number three, opening ceremonies of the Paris Olympics are today. What's the name of the famous Paris museum that houses the Mona Lisa?
That'd be the Louvre.
That's right. Number four, Billy Joel ended his historic run at Madison Square Garden last night, and he surprised everyone when he brought out what Guns N' Roses member?
It was Axl Rose!
It was Axl, yes.
Yeah!
And number five, Lady Gaga says she taught herself how to sing poorly for the new Joker movie because Harley Quinn isn't a trained singer.
It must be something to be so talented.
She is rumored to be performing at the Olympic opening ceremonies today, and she will sing a famous French song about which flower?
The rose.
The rose is correct.
Correct.
I'm sorry, Christy. He beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Christy, and I definitely cannot beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,300 bucks Monday, Anna.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.